I want to handle the subject today of fellowship, and really it's more fellowship together. I'm not spending time looking at the word fellowship, but it's fellowship together. We're going to begin in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. This is a basic, critical, and important part of a believer's growth and a believer's stand in God's Word. And I want to begin here with a very familiar verse. We're actually, you can put a ribbon here because we're going to come back. But 1 Corinthians chapter 1, did I say chapter 9?
Chapter 1.
Did I? Good. Chapter 1, verse 9. And it says, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We were called or invited under the fellowship of Jesus Christ our Lord. The word fellowship comes from the word koinonia. And I think many of you are familiar with this, but it's used in a couple of different ways, but its meaning is a share which one has in a thing, or it's a joint participation, an enjoyed association. A community of peers. It's translated in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Matter of fact, we're going to go there. Stick a ribbon in one. We're coming right back. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. It's also used in a couple of places of sharing together in giving, or a fellowship in giving. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and this really gives you a sense of this word. It's pretty neat. And in verse 16, it says, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? That word communion is this word for fellowship. This bread. And then it says in verse 17, for we being many are one bread and one body, for we are partakers of that one loaf. Okay? And it is the communion or the full sharing in what Jesus Christ has accomplished, and we are all one in it. So that sort of gives you the sense of this word fellowship, that fellowship of Jesus Christ that we've been invited unto. I want you to turn, please, to Acts chapter 2. Again, a very familiar section of Scripture. But let's look at it with new eyes. Because this is rich. This is rich in instruction. It's rich in learning. And there's a reason why God has placed this here. And this is at the beginning. You know, in God's Word, and you see this all through God's Word, the foundation or the beginning of a thing is important. It's important to in understanding that thing, whatever it is. But its beginning is important to understand. And here we have in Acts chapter 2. It says in verse 41, this was the day of Pentecost. This was after Peter had declared regarding the gospel of Jesus Christ that was brand new. For the promise, verse 39, is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward or crooked generation. Verse 41. Then they that gladly received or accepted his word were baptized. Okay, and this baptism is a reference back to verse 28, and it's a baptism in Christ, a baptism in spirit. But then it says, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Verse 42. And they continued, and the word continued means to give persistent attention to. They gave persistent attention to. They continued steadfastly in, gave persistent attention to the apostles' doctrine. Now we're going to have some things listed here. One is doctrine, and its basic meaning is what is taught. Okay? Their teaching was regarding the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it would have included the fulfilling of Old Testament scripture, like we read in Peter's presentation in Acts 2. But it would have also included those things that were being revealed unto them. Okay? As this thing that God began on the day of Pentecost became to be more and more known. So they gave persistent attention to the teaching, persistent attention to what was being taught. Number one. Number two, they gave persistent attention to fellowship. And if you'll notice in this verse, there's a figure of speech used, and it reads, the figure is that figure of, you know, it's many ands. They gave persistent attention to the apostles' teaching and fellowship and in breaking of bread and prayers. And the reason for that is because each one is being emphasized. Each one is of vital importance. So they gave persistent attention to the doctrine, what was being taught, to persistent attention to fellowship. Persistent attention to fellowship. They gave persistent attention to breaking of bread. And they gave persistent attention to praying. Isn't that something? This was the beginning. This is how it started. Now watch this. Verse 43. And reverence, the result of the giving persistent attention to the teaching, the persistent attention to the fellowship, the persistent attention to the breaking bread together, and the persistent attention to prayers, was that reverence came upon every soul. Reverence came upon every soul. You know what that means? That means they were in awe of God. That was the result of that. Giving persistent attention to these things listed. They became in awe of God. And then the result of that was, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. See? Now watch this. Look at this reverence. And all that believed were together and had all things common. See? It means, you know, according as all had need. It's really something. And this resulted from that reverence of God. And what you see here is, as a result of giving persistent attention to these things, and that reverence of God that resulted from that, it was a giving themselves over to their Lord Jesus Christ. It was a lack of self and concern of others. That's what you see here. And that was what resulted from that reverence. Isn't that incredible? many signs and wonders. And they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all, as every man had need. They sold, you know, that plurality. And they continuing daily. And again, that continuing daily is that giving persistent attention to one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness, or simplicity of heart. Simplicity of heart. You know when things get complicated? This is when things get complicated. When we don't give persistent attention to the teaching. Or we give persistent attention to the teaching, but we decide that fellowship's not that big a deal. Maybe just being together, not that big a deal, not that important. See? It's really something. And you see the result of the reverence that resulted from giving persistent attention to these four things. See, this is what Jesus Christ as Lord can look like. Isn't that remarkable? This was how it was set. This was the result. This was, you're seeing Jesus Christ manifested and his church living as he desires the church to live. Verse 47 says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as were being saved. Now, I told you to keep a ribbon at 1 Corinthians 1, and I want you to turn there. It's actually pretty remarkable. We're going to begin in verse 10. We read verse 9, called unto that fellowship, that full sharing relationship of his son, Jesus Christ. And then it says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. What had happened by the time we're reading in 1 Corinthians is they had taken their eyes off of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, and I forget exactly the number of times Lord Jesus Christ is used, but it's used like 10 times in these beginning verses. They had taken their eyes off of Jesus Christ and had put them on other things. We just read in Acts. The result of their giving persistent attention to that teaching, that gospel regarding the Lord Jesus Christ, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers. We're called to participate in this as well as partake in the benefits of the sharing of fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. But listen, the primary way that we fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ is fellowshipping with one another. And we're going to see that as we get into some of this. You want to love Jesus Christ more? Love your brothers more. You want a closer relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Pray for and develop a closer relationship with this one body. Verse 11 says, for it's been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you says, I'm of Paul, and I have Apollos, and I have Cephas, and I have Christ. Is Christ divided? It's a rhetorical question. Is Christ divided? No. Was Paul crucified for you? No. Were you baptized in the name of Paul? No. I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any of you should say, I had baptized in mine own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. It's really something. It's quite a difference. Rather than the allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ, rather than the lordship of Jesus Christ, they were claiming, these saints, they were claiming allegiance to different men as well as different practices. That's something. And hence, this division that you see. And I'll tell you, you know, we're going to spend some time later on in 1 Corinthians. For the weekend, for the family weekend we're going to do. But we read in Acts regarding the great signs and wonders that took place. You can continue to reading on into chapter 3 and the tremendous manifestation of the power of God that was evidenced in that early church. Here Corinthians opens up with the division that had ensued because they had allegiances to something other than Jesus Christ, to other men or other practices, other ways of thinking. And the result was, is that you read later on in 1 Corinthians that because they didn't understand who Jesus Christ was and what it was he accomplished, that many were sickly and died prematurely. Isn't that remarkable? The change. And God puts these things in his word so that we can know, so that we can see these things. I want you to go to Romans chapter 12. And again, we're going to read some familiar verses, but I want you to think about it in light of what we've just considered. Romans chapter 12. Oh boy, hard to pick a place where to start, but we're going to start with verse 4. This is after that renewed mind of all that preceded, what we have, who we are in Christ because of what he did. Verse 4 of chapter 12, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same function, so we being many," or the many, "are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy," let us prophesy according to the proportion of believing, "or ministry," get busy ministering, "he that teaches, teach. He that exhorts, exhortation. He that gives, with simplicity or genuineness. He that rules, with diligence. And he that shows mercy, with cheerfulness." And these are just a sampling. The point is that each one of us has been given a gift of grace, a function in this body. And we're going to see that that is what enables the body to be knit together and then to grow, to edify itself in love with Jesus Christ as the head. When we separate ourselves from that one body, we miss out on God's desire, God's plan, and the working of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9 says, "Love without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to the good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another." See, isn't that something? We outdo one another in showing one another honor because each one of us is worth the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's seeing things according to Christ and not according to the flesh. And the way we grow in that is by giving persistent heed to the doctrine, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. persistent attention to fellowship, persistent attention to breaking bread together, persistent attention to prayer. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in the hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant or giving persistent attention to prayer. Distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality, bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them with rejoice, and weep with them with weep. These are all things that take place in the church, in the fellowship. These kinds of things. We could spend a lot of time. We could get into sharing burdens among one another. The things that take place and how we minister to one another and the learning that takes place. There's just so much that happens in this church. Look at Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. And I am going to read. Let me get there. Colossians chapter 2. There is a warning that is taking place here. I'll go ahead and read it in verse 18. It says, "Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility or a self-prescribed humility. It's a false humility, really, and religion. Intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind." And here it is. It says, "And not holding the head, from which all the body, by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increases with the increase of God." I want to read it from the NASB version. It says, "And not holding fast to the head." The New International version has this as "lost the connection," which really... That's a great illustration, isn't it? "Lost the connection to the head, from whom the whole entire body, being supplied and held together by the joints and ligaments, grows with a growth which is from God." Those joints and ligaments are each part. See? Each contributing part. And then that grows together. See? With a growth that is from God. It's a godly growth. It's what God desires. It's what God wants. Isn't that something? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. These are familiar verses to you, but pretty critical to understand. But these things are critical. These things are critical to the church, critical to the lives and the growth of saints. To be together. You know, to spend time together. Oh, it's so such a big deal. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18 says, "The eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenlies, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come," not only in this age, but in that which is to come, "and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body." And this is what I wanted to get to: the fullness of him that fills all and in all. Jesus Christ fills all things in all people in the body of Christ. Each one, and this is spiritual. This is a spiritual truth. This is a spiritual reality. that each one of us has been filled with awe by the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the Spirit of the living God living within us. These are things we can grow in. Ephesians chapter 4, and then we'll close in Hebrews. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 14 reads, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, every wind of teaching, by the sleight of men or by the strategies of delusion. Isn't that something? And and that cunning craftiness, it's the strategies of delusion whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. From whom? Christ. From whom? The whole body, fitly joined, you know, fitly framed, knit together. You could translate this as fitly framed, knit together, and compacted. Oh, I'm sorry, compacted is that knit together. By that which every joint supplies. The standard of that supply is according to the effectual working in the measure of every part makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in Jesus Christ is head. He directs these things. Each one of us has abilities, things that we've been given by our Heavenly Father in this body of Christ, in this church. And each one of us contributes accordingly. And this is how that body grows, how it edifies itself in love. Boy, you eliminate that. You eliminate that. It's not going to last long. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that you walk not as Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. And if you read on, the basic difference here is one is about Jesus Christ and others. The other is about self. We don't walk that way. Jesus Christ is our Lord. Jesus Christ is head. And we never, ever, ever want to be disconnected from our Lord Jesus Christ in our walks or in our thinking. Hebrews chapter 10, and that's where we're going to close. Verse 19. And this follows, of course, on the great truths that come before it regarding the accomplishments of Jesus Christ, how that we're sanctified, how that by his sacrifice once and for all. And because of that, verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. And a new, and by a new and living way. This word new is recently slain. By a recently slain and living way, because God raised him from the dead, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And that flesh is put for his sacrifice. And hence, the accomplishments that resulted from that sacrifice. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in the full assurance of believing, of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us, this is the second time this comes up, let us hold fast the profession of our, and the word faith is hope in the critical Greek texts. So it reads, let us hold fast the profession or the confession, what we profess regarding our hope without wavering. Don't you waver on the hope. Don't waver on the return of Jesus Christ, for he's faithful, the promise. And let us, number three, let us consider one another to provoke or to stir up unto love and to good works. How do we do that? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. See, isn't that something? Our fellowship with one another is in light of that return of Jesus Christ, and we stir or we provoke one another unto love, unto good works, unto things along those lines in light of the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? See, that's a fellowship. That's what was happening in Acts chapter 2. Those kinds of things, those were the things they were giving persistent attention to. And you see the incredible reverence, the incredible dynamicness of that church, and the resulting things that followed their believing, which went hand in hand with that reverence and hand in hand with those things that they gave reverence to. So these things are really a big deal. And, you know, there's a move in the world, and I'm not saying anything you guys don't know, regarding some of these things. And I can't, you know, I just know what the Word says. and I have the Spirit of God, and you know, you got the Spirit of God. And God works in you, God works in me. Boy, you know, we can know, we just can. So, amen. I'm going to pray.